What's up, Knoll Nation? It's the guys from Plant the Spear. I'm Jesse, that's Michael, and we are coming to you live from Charlotte, North Carolina, as 2025 ACC football kickoff is a wrap. It's a wrap. In the books. Talking season, Michael, is officially over, and it is time to hit the practice fields.
That's right.
Football camp opens for Florida State next week,
right.
6 days from now, on next Wednesday,
that's
I believe.
Right. That's right.
And so we're going to share some of our top things that we're looking for as Florida State goes into camp. We're also going to share some final thoughts on ACC Media Days as things come to a close here. But, Michael, we would be remiss if we did not open with the breaking news.
Breaking news.
That is maybe the downfall, the first domino in the downfall
exactly.
of the ACC. So I'll let you lead us off with that because you told us about it while we were in the middle of recording another video. So share with me the breaking news, man.
Yeah, basically, as Bill Belichick was coming off the stage and everyone was kind of wrapping up, NC State were doing their thing, news broke by On3, and that was first reported by Inside Carolina, that UNC is looking to leave the ACC to join the SEC. I mean, that is massive news.
Yeah.
You know, you thought that maybe realignment would die down for at least a year after the lawsuit, and UNC said, not so fast, my friend.
I know. Well, you know, the thing about Media Days is it's usually good for kind of one burner coming
out. That's
right.
That's right.
At some point. But no, I think it's important because really, I think with this whole settlement, no one thought Florida State and Clemson were going to stay in this conference, right?
No,
but I think you were kind of looking for, they thought it was Jim Phillips.
That's
day
right.
Day one talked about this is bringing stability to the conference.
That's
we're
right.
happy with where we're at. But you were kind of looking for that first domino.
That's
who's
right.
going to be the first one to look for the door? And we had always heard that as far as when you look at the pieces that could go which way,
that's right.
UNC and UVA were kind of the apple of the SEC's eye.
That's right.
And so they were going after them. They had made it known that they wanted them. And so I think when you have really an ACC blue blood
that's right. that's
looking
right.
to make its way out of the conference, I think that's going to start the kind of the butterfly effect of everybody looking to make their way out of here. So, man, I think if that does happen, who knows what Media Days looks like next year?
Oh, man, I just can't imagine. I mean, what's interesting to me is that UNC, you know, yeah, there were kind of some quiet rumblings behind the scenes that they wanted to get out. They were waiting to see what FSU and Clemson did. But really, publicly, they were all about the ACC. They were, you know, telling Florida State to be quiet
yeah.
and why are you talking? This is a conference, you know, that we're all together in. And, you know, they're kind of the blue blood and helped found the ACC. And here they are, right after the lawsuit's done, saying, actually, we're getting out of here.
Exactly. Bye.
So
exactly.
I just think that's so interesting. But look, kudos to UNC.
Yeah.
Like, we've said it forever. FSU needs to get out of this conference. UNC has felt that way. Clemson feels that way.
Yeah.
It's just funny that UNC is the first domino to go.
Exactly, man. And hey, UNC is maybe they're trying to just sneak out of the conference like Bill Belichick sneaks out of some places.
That's right.
I'll just leave that be. We'll just leave that be. But no, I think it's important, man, because – we've talked about this, right?
That's right.
We thought Florida State would probably be out of here by 2030.
That's right.
At least 2027, 2028, maybe you start looking to make that move
right.
when the other teams come to the conferences come back to the TV negotiating table. And so I think this is probably going to speed up that process,
right.
to be
right.
honest. And I think this could happen fast. So, I mean, that's really big news, and we're going to have to keep our eye on that.
Well, I just want to say real quickly, and it makes sense that the SEC is going after maybe UNC first. I mean, you and I, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but you and I saw the media frenzy that we just witnessed with Bill Belichick. Lord Jesus, holy cow.
Yeah.
That is more media than I've seen in a lot. I think there were probably almost just as much media as there is at the Super Bowl just for a preseason conference with Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
That was insane.
It was wild. And we'll transition into some closing thoughts on ACC Media Days this year. This is my third year. I don't know that I've ever seen it even half that full. It was a mosh pit. It
right.
was crazy. I've never had to see them go into the breakout rooms and have an SID kind of command the press conference. I've never seen that. And
right.
so it's crazy. But, you know, and it's hard to say it's good for the conference when they're trying to get out of the conference. But I think it's good for the ACC.
That's
I think
right.
it's good to try and capture the value that is Bill Belichick. Because, you know, it's just, it's headlines, man.
That's
but,
right.
you know, it's like we were talking about on another show. For this to work, that experiment has to work. You
got
to go win games
Absolutely.
Because it's great during talking season,
That's
but
right.
when the ball hits the field, you got to win games too.
That's absolutely true.
But yeah, man, I mean, it was a spectacle to see. And, you know, my wife's a lifelong Patriots fan. And so, you know, I sent her a picture and I was like, first off, I saw him laugh today.
That's
I
right.
saw him smile. It was something I didn't know could exist. But it's cool. I think he kind of got to see behind the real Bill Belichick a little bit. And I think he's kind of opened up a little bit now that he's in the college game.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, first of all, can I just say thanks for having me come out. That was so much fun. It was a great experience to be able to be here, to interview Mike Norvell and the players in person, to get the breakouts, to talk to coaches, to rub elbows with Dabo Sweeney and all these guys. It was incredible, you know, to be able to ask a question to a six-time Super Bowl champion coach and Bill Belichick. I got to ask a question. He smiled at me. Is the rapture coming? Are we at the end of the world? What is happening here? It was so cool. But I agree with you. Bill Belichick being in the ACC is the best thing that could happen for the ACC as far as media exposure and brand. Now, it has to work. Like, it could, if they go 0-12 or they have a disastrous season or Jordan Hudson is calling plays, like, it's going to be a bad day for UNC and for the ACC. But, I, you know, man. Let's see how it goes. It's going to be I wrote in my article, you know, 10 takeaways from the ACC kickoff. And one of my 10 takeaways was UNC is going to be the best reality show on TV this season.
Yeah.
So make sure you stay tuned to that.
It really is. And if I'm not mistaken, they've already sold out like all their tickets. And so, I mean, it's big for that program,
too. That's right.
Just as big as it is for the conference. So, Michael, before we get off of ACC Media Days to close that out, give me like one of your top takeaways just overall. And I'll start with mine, right? It's always funny when you hit the table with talking season.
That's right.
Everybody, every team we heard from today, bigger, stronger, faster, deeper than they've ever been.
They're
closer than they've ever been. And so everyone, I think all 17 teams are ready to compete for a national championship.
That's right.
That's what it sounds
like. That's right.
But you know, at the end of the day, man, that's what talking season is all about.
That's right.
And I think a lot of the comments that you made, like we heard Brent Pry say, we're closer than we've ever been to the vision I have for Virginia Tech that I've been here. Tony Elliott at UVA, we're the deepest we've ever been.
Yeah.
And so what I say with that is when you say things like that, you put pressure on yourself.
You really do.
You have to now go out and back up the talk that you did at the podium.
That's right. Yeah, you really do. When you know, talking season is so easy. You come here, you talk, you rah-rah the fans up, you know, and I get it. You have to sell the brand. You got to sell the players. You got to get people excited for your team this year. But, man, if you don't back it up, guess what? All those sound bites come back to bite you at the end of the season. This is what gets coaches fired faster than they get pay raises, is the things they say during this time period.
Yeah, exactly. So last thing on Media Days, Michael, first year, obviously, you talked about it a little bit. Man, it's fun. It's exciting. We love bringing this to you. Your boy needs a nap.
Yeah.
I'm a little tired after 3 days. Was up till 1:30 in the morning last night, getting footage out for you guys, getting pictures out for you guys, back up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And look, man, I work nights. I'm not a 5 o'clock morning person.
Yeah.
So, man, it's tiring, but I love it. It's the grind we do for you guys. But man, share me some thoughts on your first experience at ACC Media Days. It's chaotic. I told you it was.
Oh man.
It's crazier than you think.
Oh yeah.
But give me some thoughts on your first experience at Media Days.
Well, you know, it's a great experience. It's pretty cool to be able to come here and just talk to coaches and players and just kind of get an insight of what each program is believing. Like you said, everybody believes right now they can win a national championship.
Yep.
Wake Forest coach sounded like he could win a national championship. Whether that will happen, not. But I thought that was absolutely cool. The food here was excellent.
I told you.
Man, you did tell me.
I told you.
The food was so good.
I have figured out the revenue gap in the ACC behind the other conferences. They spend it on the food.
They spend it on the food. They have to spend it on the food. But it was just really cool to be able to talk to, you know, I got a chance to have about a 10-minute conversation with ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips. Like, in my lifetime, I never thought I'd be able to do that.
Yeah.
I got to talk to Mike Norvell, got to talk to the players, got to talk to, you know, a bunch of different people that were out there. Got to kind of laugh it up with Dabo Sweeney. He recorded a video for me for a dear friend of mine. So I thought that was really cool. So it was just an overall incredible experience. I hope to be back next year to wherever conference we might be in next year, but probably the ACC, and it's going to be a really cool time.
Yeah, man. So let's transition into fall camp, right?
Okay.
Fall camp starts next week, next Wednesday, July 30th.
That's right.
Literally 30 days from game day at that point against Alabama. So we're going to talk about our top questions, top observations we're looking for going into camp as we get ready to kind of close down this episode here or wind towards the end of it here. So I'll let you lead off with the first point, because we kind of came together and we agreed on five main topics that we're looking for. So go ahead and lead us off with number one.
Yeah, well, so we're just talking about the five things we're looking, that we're watching for as we enter fall camp for Florida State football. And number one really is the combined health of this team. You know, we heard some updates from Mike Norvell and some of the players talking about the Jenkins kid, you know, the transfer from Tennessee, that he's ahead of schedule. They like where his progress is at. We saw Richie Leonard, he was here. He confirmed to me, to my face, that he's fully healthy and ready to go. And just some of the other injury stuff. Squirrel White was a huge update as well, too, that he has been full go. He's the fastest. You know, Tommy Castellano talked about that boy is real fast. And so do they make it through camp? You know, last year we saw the injury luck hit us in the worst way last season, which was probably what contributed a little bit to that 2-10 record. And so how healthy do they get through camp as they go to fall camp? You know, they're going to do their normal couple days in Jacksonville as well. Can they make through that healthy as well, too? So that'll be a huge thing that we're watching for.
Yeah, and we saw a lot of other guys held out out of precautionary. I think Shaheem missed some time.
That's right.
You had Gunnar Hansen was out on the offensive line there. And you know what's going to be interesting, Michael, is the new mandated injury reports.
That's right. That's right.
So, you know, we know FSU does not talk about injuries, and usually unless it's a season-ending injury. So that's going to be interesting there, how they report on that.
That's right.
We know there's going to be gamesmanship.
That's right.
They've already said there's really no penalties or enforcement framework in place here. So we're going on the honor system because that is usually going to work out well. Right?
Well, I even heard Dave Doran from NC State. I got to catch a little bit of his press conference. He even admitted that coaches lie on those things. So, you know, we can expect that probably Mike Norvell would be doing the same thing.
Exactly. Newsflash, water is wet. I think really what we're looking for to kind of wind that point up is just how healthy is this team? Is
That's
everybody
right.
a full go? And I think that leads into point number two, right? How fast can this team be ready to go? You got new coordinators, new schemes, a lot of new pieces, probably 16 new starters coming into this season. But, Michael, you don't have time to ramp up or figure things out. You got Alabama.
That's right.
Game one, 30 days away, man. You
That's
don't
right.
have time to kind of figure it out on the go. You don't have East Texas A&M.
That's right.
To kind of tune up again. So
That's
you
right.
have to be ready to go right out of the gate. You can't spend a whole lot of time working on fundamentals, working on the small things. Man, you got to get this thing figured out quick. So what I'm looking for is how fast they can get this installed,
yep.
how fast they can get up to speed, and how fast you can be ready to go against Alabama.
Yeah, and listen, you know, these coaches, they get almost unfettered access to the players in the summertime now with the new rule changes, things like that. I imagine that they have been scripting, Gus Malzahn and Tony Way have been scripting and putting the schemes together and kind of what they're hoping to see from Florida State against Alabama. So I don't imagine they're going to be behind. The bigger question around that, if they'll be ready, is can the players get mentally there? Can they get there? Can they have their mindset ready? Can they be all in to this game at Alabama? Obviously, we shouldn't have to ask that question. It's Alabama, Jesse.
Right. Yeah.
Right? It's Alabama. They're going to be a top 25 ranked team coming in the Doak Campbell Stadium at 3:30. That stadium is going to be packed. It's already sold out. They should be ready. Hopefully their mentals are there.
Yeah, if you can't get fired up for a game like that, coming out of the gate, 3:30, sold out crowd, I mean, it's going to be huge. And this is a statement game for Florida
that's
State.
Right.
So you have to come out and start strong with that, man. So that's going to be something we're really watching. Oh, and we meant to say this before we got into this. As of right now, practice is still open.
That's right.
We
that's
have not
right.
heard about them shutting it down like they did in the spring. So we'll see how the media access works. There's still a week left. Maybe that news breaks, maybe it don't. So maybe we'll be able to get some tea leaves on this
that's
team
right.
throughout
yep.
the fall camp that we did not get in the spring. But that's interesting, man. So we'll be watching that. And go ahead and give us point three.
Well, carrying with the mentals, one of the bigger questions that we have is, what about Mike Norvell's mentals?
Yeah.
You know, we saw what happened at Boston College. I mean, it's one of the most iconic facial plants that we've seen in Mike Norvell's tenure, where, you know, Boston College has gone up and he just looks like he completely does not know what's happening in his life right now. He's contemplating where he wants to go sell ice cream after that game. And so what is his mentals? Now, we saw Southern Baptist, the nickname we're giving Mike Norvell. We saw Southern Baptist Mike Norvell show up to the, you know, I asked him a question and he death stared me and preached to me like I needed Jesus last year. I mean, he was all over the place. He came out with energy and fiery and, I mean, just everything. But is that the same Mike Norvell, Jesse, are we going to get when the season happens, when they get punched in the mouth by Alabama? Or are we going to get dazed and confused Mike Norvell?
Yeah, and I think that's really what I'm looking for. You know, this is not new for Mike Norvell.
Correct.
We saw, you know, I think it was last year, the year before, you know, we have a standard here. And if you don't want to live up to that, don't come here. It's not
That's
for
right.
everybody. We've heard the fiery speeches. Doesn't always mean you've backed it up with
That's
a winning
right.
season.
That's
we
right.
talked, you know, something he admitted last year was he did not handle
That's right.
the adversity well yeah. himself. He talked about the team didn't do it, but he also knows he showed the stress and everything that went wrong, he wore it poorly
That's
and
right.
how he has to get better about that. So say it's halftime and you're down 14-0 against Alabama. The game's not over.
That's right.
But how are you going to handle yourself? How
That's right.
You always talk about how your team responds to adversity. Well, how are you going to do it?
That's
so
right.
I think it's like, yes, it's great to say all the right things at the podium, but when you're on the sideline with the headset on, where's your mentality there?
That's
and
right.
that's going to be really important because I think to a degree last year we saw the team kind of embody what their coach was putting off
yeah.
mentally and where he looked defeated and
That's
so
right.
and where he wore it on his sleeve. And it's not something he's used to going
right.
through that. So I get it. It's kind of a new territory for him other than, you know, maybe 2020 that season. But yeah, man, when adversity strikes, where is Mike Norvell's head at? Can he be the guy to pick this team up and lead them instead of kind of getting that bewildered look there?
One of the things you said to me real quick, and I'll throw it back to you, is you said when we were kind of talking about this off air, you said, you know, how does Mike Norvell convert them from talking season to playing season?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, because talking season is great, but it doesn't mean anything if you don't back it up on the grass.
That's right.
And I think that's what's really important. So number four here, who's going to step up and actually be leaders? You know, we've seen all these things where the players say, they're pushing us. They're pushing us. They want me to be this leader. Well, Mike Norvell also says, don't talk about it, be about
That's
it.
Right. That's
so
right.
So while everybody's telling you, you need to step up and be a leader, who's actually going to do it? Because leadership was one of the biggest missing things from this team last year.
That's right.
Especially the quarterback position, some of your bigger positions on the team. And we've seen Daryl Jackson, Tommy Castellanos are two guys that really come to mind here that are being asked to step into these roles.
That's right.
So as camp gets here, as it's hot, you're tired, you know, maybe you have an off day at practice, who's going to be the guys to rally the troops and pick everybody up and say, look, guys, we can't accept. I heard another player say it today. I forget who he was with, but he talked about how, like, you know, maybe when practice isn't going like it's supposed to.
That's right.
That's when you have to step up and say, guys, look, this is not acceptable. We can't accept this.
That's right.
And so who's going to be those guys for Florida State? The guys that they've challenged, are they ready to step into that role? Because, you know, we heard a lot about how the coaches had to force things on them last year. And really, the teams who are the most successful are often player-led.
That's right.
And so we didn't see that last
That's
year.
Right.
And so will we see a player-led, coach-backed team this year?
That's right.
Instead of them having to force leadership, force guys into roles. And that's something I'm really watching for.
Yeah, you know, yesterday when they were talking about that, I didn't think about it as much, so it wasn't a concern to me. But the more and more I had chance to think about that, it's kind of concerning to me that the coaches are having to ask these players
yeah.
to step up to be leaders.
Yeah.
You know, natural born leaders don't need to be asked.
Exactly.
Right. You
yeah.
know, I always say, because I'm a leader in the organization that I lead, I always say I'd rather have people that I have to say whoa than
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
No, you're right.
I want to have to kind of calm you down a little
exactly,
bit and
exactly.
not have to push you to go. And so it kind of concerns me that Mike Norvell and his staff is having to ask these players. But now hopefully maybe it was just like a little kick in the butt that they needed, and then they can take it from there
yeah.
and they can go, like you said, be a player-led, coach-backed program. Because the most successful programs, I mean, think back to 2013, right? The national championship team
yeah.
in Florida State. You didn't have to ask Jameis. You didn't have to ask Telvin. You didn't have to ask LaMarcus. You didn't have to ask any of them
Timmy
to step
Jernigan,
up.
Yeah.
Timmy Jernigan.
Yeah.
They
yep.
just stepped up.
And even 2023.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
You had Jordan, you had Verse, you had Trey Benson, you had guys who would not accept anything less than your best.
That's right.
And so I think that's going to be really interesting as we get into camp. Who emerges as leaders? Tommy Castellanos talked about
that's
that
right.
when he first got here. The one thing he felt was missing from the locker room was leadership, and he's
that's
tried
right.
to embrace that role. So that's going to be one to watch going into camp as well, because it's going to be huge going out throughout the season, because we talked about adversity.
That's right.
You can't always have the coach pick you up,
that's
right?
right?
We always see the player-only meetings
yeah,
and things like that.
That
so
that
who, are the,
never
who are going to be those guys?
Right.
And so the last point here we have going into fall camp is how the projected position battles shake out, right?
Yeah.
We got a lot of guys that we feel like are poised to be starters, but there are some position battles. Like we've
that's
heard
right.
so much about Javon Boggs. Is a freshman going to come in and take a starting spot as a wide receiver? Is Jason Jenkins healthy? And if not, who's that defensive
that's
end
right.
number two? Is
that's
that a
right.
Deontay McCray? Is that a Diamante Diggs? Who are these guys? We got 6'8" linebackers we like.
That's right.
Is it a Stephon Thompson? You know, is it an Omar Graham? Who are these guys stepping up? So that's something that's maybe not you're watching going into camp. You're going to have to watch as camp unfolds.
That's right.
But I definitely think that there's some big position battles that I'm watching. But, you know, the good thing is – you at least have battles now, which means you're going to create depth naturally.
Right. That's
and
right.
So we'll
That's
see
right.
who elevates themselves and who can be, maybe if you don't win the server, you know, the starting spot, can you be that serviceable number two for when your That's number right. is called?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Like you want there to be battles among certain positions because you want to know that you have quality depth. You know, it'd be kind of sad if you were going into the season kind of already knowing, well, this is our best player, so obviously he's going to be there. But the fact that you have quality, perceived quality depth at some of those positions, yeah. that you're going to be able to figure out who's going to be starting, who's going to be that second string coming in there, I think that's really important. And yeah, like you said, it's something for us to watch as camp unfolds. And we're going to try to bring you as much information as we get our hands on to keep you up to date as how those position battles unfold. But yeah, that's going to be something definitely to watch.
Yeah,
for.
I mean, there's a lot of perceived starters here, but there's yep. a lot that are up for grabs.
That's right.
And I mean, I'm interested to see. And really, I'm interested to see a lot of some of the perceived starters too.
That's right.
James Williams, a guy who we think is going to be a perceived starter, but he's never been a starter.
That's right.
How does he handle that role?
That's right.
There's a lot of guys that, you know, again.
I even think about the tight end position with Randy Pittman
right.
versus Landon Thomas. Like, yeah. is Landon ready to take over some of that a little bit? Or is it going to be mostly Randy Pittman running that?
Right, the running back room.
Oh, yeah,
you got
right.
18 of them that you like. Who's going to end up being the starter?
That's right.
And so that's something that I'm watching, too. You know, like we said, the guys who are going to be starters this year who have not been in starter
that's
roles.
Right.
That's going to be another thing to watch, how they handle
yes.
that transition into having to be the full-time
oh,
guy.
Yeah.
I
yep.
think that's something to watch too. So, man, I'm excited.
I am too.
Camp is start. Talking season's over. We
that's
wrapped
it
up. We had fun here in Charlotte. We met up with a couple of our friends from the College Huddle.
That's
Shout
right.
out to the College Huddle as well. Our friends from Virginia, the Cavalier Connection, the Hill Brothers from UNC.
Yep.
We're here as well today. I know they were excited to
yep.
get to talk to
that's
Bill
right.
Belichick. So, man, we were really just had a good time here in Charlotte. But now, man, it's time to dig in and get ready for football season.
That's
because
right.
you know, once this wraps up, man, it feels like that kind of 8 month just drag
yes.
and drag and drag. But once this starts, man,
oh,
football
man.
Season will be here for you
that's
know
right.
it. So I'm
that's
excited
right.
we're gonna load you guys up with tons of coverage leading up into kickoff. We got all kinds of previews coming up for you guys. Make sure you check out our website, plantthespear.com. Michael's been dropping articles. We're gonna start working on position previews, all that type of stuff. Make sure you like and subscribe to stay connected to your ultimate fan source. We're the fan's voice for you guys, right?
That's
what we're trying to be. So make sure you lock in with us. We're gonna have a ton of coverage. Rate review on the podcast also helps as well. Michael, man, next stop, Alabama.
Next stop, Alabama, Doak Campbell Stadium, August 30th, 3:30 p.m. If you don't got tickets, watch it on TV, and we'll see you there.
We'll see you there.
We'll see you there.
Go Noles.
As always, go Noles.
If you don't got tickets, watch it on TV.